Loud, warp one, engage!
Get those nerds!
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 Welcome. This is Nerds of the Square Table, here on Anchor.fm.
Hadouken!
The reminisce.
Good vibes in the air.
Just
kick back, relax with the Nerds of the Square.
It's the reminisce.
Good vibes in the air.
Just kick
back, relax with the Nerds of the Square.
It's the reminisce.
Good vibes in the air.
Just kick
back, relax with the Nerds of the Square.
It's the reminisce.
Good vibes in the air.
Just kick back, relax.
You got this.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, my neeks? It's Atomic Train here with Nerds of the Square Table here at NSQT Talks. And today we have an awesome episode for you folks, because if you all don't know, this is actually our season finale. And we're going to be ending it with the movie Shang-Chi. Is that how you properly say it? Who gives a fuck, to be honest? It's Shang-Chi. It's a Marvel movie, okay? So thanks for tuning in. Basically, I'm going to just announce all the cast members right here. So we got Chrono XF on the mic. What's up?
What up?
And we got the dynamic duo, Cakes and Kaifa. What's up?
Hello.
So basically, today, like how I just said in that intro, is that this is the season finale. So are we all excited right now? Just throwing it out there. Yeah. We're ending season two. Yeah.
Season two finale. We're ending season two finale. The beginning.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But so just a little bit about what's going to be happening, though, just to give a little spiel. So we're going to be ending season two, and then we're going to pick up where we left off in season three. Season three, please check out the post. It's to be announced when we're going to start dropping our first episode. Basically, it's going to be following an adventure with the Neeks. So just tune in for that. Check the social medias, everything, and we'll keep you guys posted. Road trip, yes, yes. But let's go ahead and talk about this Shang-Chi. So everyone's seen this movie, correct?
Correct, yes. Amundo.
Yeah.
Okay. I was the only one that hadn't had the opportunity to watch this movie. However, that's fine. I'm cool. We're going to do this as spoiler, right?
If that's how you want to do it, we can do a spoiler.
So there you guys have it, folks. We're going to be doing a spoiler. So this is your first spoiler warning, the only spoiler warning you're ever going to get out of this episode. So if you're still sitting down and listening to this episode, leave the room, but come back after you watched Shang-Chi, Marvel's Shang-Chi.
3, 4, 5 seconds, go!
Yeah, yeah, you guys got 3, 4, 5 seconds. Anywho, is there any shout-outs, Chrono, for this movie?
Well, we'd like to thank Murphy Street 808 for allowing us to go on this adventure for free. So all of us got to watch this movie on the premiere day. So thanks to Murphy Street for allowing us to get in on the fun and watch this with a bunch of Neeks, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, like the real quick shout out to them for sure. They put together this really awesome premiere night event with Olino at over at Comic-Con Lee. So it was really good. The theater was full, it was just full of people, just supporting the nerd community, the pop culture community and everything.
Murphy fashion, they had snacks and giveaways.
Yeah. We didn't get no pops though. I don't know what happened, but it's all good. No.
Somebody went away with a jacket.
Yeah. We won an awesome jacket. Anyway, maybe more on that later. But for real, thank you guys for that. So appreciate you guys, and look to future stuff down the line, maybe. So
yeah, check out their podcast.
For sure.
It's pretty awesome.
Murphy Street 808. Check them out.
Check them out. Anyway, back to Shang-Chi.
Back to Shang-Chi.
All right, who wanna go first?
So since I haven't watched the movie and I'm interested into like what it's all about. Like all I've been hearing is just movie gossip, you know, via web, via you know, conversations here and there. But first off, my question is to all three of you. Mm-hmm. How did you enjoy it? I would say was it original Marvel kind of feels, like an original Marvel feels, or was this kind of like over the top, above and beyond, we're going to another direction? Like how did you feel? Chrono, you can start.
Wait, before we do that, even I have a question for you.
Okay. Like, yes.
You didn't watch the movie, and I'm sure you read some things. Maybe you listened, you know, you heard people talk about it without maybe trying to avoid spoilers. What did you think of, like, without seeing it, what are your thoughts on it before we give our thoughts of actually seeing it from like a kind of just reading it perspective? Because some people, you know, a lot of people really just read about it and like they go off of if I'm going to watch it or not off of that. So what do you think?
Zach, well, go ahead. Yeah, so basically for me, like I'm into it, like I'm interested because this is actually like a martial arts style movie. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one plus. And then also I always wanted a little bit backstory on the Mandarin. So like we've seen him in Iron Man. We've seen him in the Iron Man movie, but that was a fake Mandarin, you know, like the actor. You know, Ben Kingsley played him. It was funny as shit. But I don't know if you guys even seen Disney Plus. This could be a spoiler for Disney Plus, but there's also a little short skit with Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin, or as the actor, right? As a Mandarin. And yeah, there was like a little bit of backstory there as well. So I think the name of the clip was...
it's actually a cut. Deleted scene from Iron Man.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. Nice.
Called right. In the Name of the King.
In the Name of the King. Yeah. Yeah. So it was actually pretty cool. And I was always interested in the Mandarin and the Ten Rings and, you know, just everything. But as soon as I heard about this movie about Shang-Chi, and I just was hoping that there was going to be some sort of linkage. They're going to try to connect the dots. I'm jumping ahead of it, but I was hoping that maybe I could see like where they're starting to mesh in like the Doctor Strange universe as well. So like probably seeing like Doctor Strange himself, or probably even Wong. That's pretty much it. Like I haven't seen the movie. Again, I haven't seen the movie, but that is what I'm expecting to see. I'm kind of expecting to see more along the lines of Marvel fantasy rather than Marvel practicality. So like what I'm saying is if you watch the whole Marvel series or the whole Marvel, like, you know, everything in from the beginning, like of like probably like Avengers or even Iron Man or Captain America, everything was all practical, you know, type of superhero style, vigilante, whatever. Now we're heading towards a universe where it's like it's alternate reality. It's made up reality. It's not actually like practical anymore. This is all like theoretical, you know, in a sense.
Following the comic books and stuff necessarily?
Yeah, like this- well, not necessarily following the comic books, more along the line of more of the mystics. Okay. Like I feel like it's trying to, like Shang-Chi coming into play is trying to play a role on the mystic side of superheroes. And of course, getting rid of the old, we had an episode that we talked about getting rid of the old actors, the old characters, like the old main characters, and moving on to a new genre, you know, a new genre where this is going to be slightly different. Like you're still going to feel homey, still going to feel kind of the same, but it's going to be a slightly different twist on storytelling. Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a rough one, especially for like, I know where you're trying to get at, or I think I know where you're trying to get at, Cakes, is that it's going to be a rough one for a lot of comic book, like heavy comic book readers, followers, fandom. just because these stories that they're now telling is kind of like an original writing, like that they're actually making it up as they're shooting this movie. And so they're not following the actual, like, you know, history. Like if you have the encyclopedia of Marvel and you're reading that shit, they're not going off of the stories in there. So I get that, but you know what, that is a good move. Like, I'm going to say it's a good move, but a bad move, a risky move. It's a good move because we get to get more exposure with different demographic of audience, but it's a risky move. Like, it's a bad move because it's also going to kill the OG, you know, the original gangsters of Marvel. So that's it's a pro and con with this style, but so far it's only been rumors that I've heard. I never watched a movie, like how I said many times. Probably I might have a different opinion, you know, when I finally do, but that's all that's going in my head at the moment.
I'm not gonna do my review yet. I'm just gonna, like, you know, respond to what you said, because that was actually really fucking good. That was good thinking. I didn't even think of it in that light. So that was really an eye opener. I was like, oh, that is smart. That, yeah, they could be going into like something that they're trying to tell themselves and not necessarily follow exactly the storyline of how all these characters met within the comic books. And it will annoy people, you know, people that are like strict to the comics and is like, this never happened. Why is this blah, 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 this and that.
I was like, I mean, they never really ever did.
Right.
They've been deviating from the comic books a lot, even in the Infinity Saga. There's a lot of things that didn't happen in there that did happen there.
Like
Spider-Man, for instance.
Yeah.
Spider-Man have this, you know, surrogate father type figure with Iron Man in the comic books. It's just there.
No, that's why, Chrono, you brought up a good point. Yes, they are kind of like there's a variation that's happening.
I mean, I know where you're going with this. I know what you're saying, but they have never really been like true to the comic books.
Right. No, I get that.
In any respect.
But, like, I think what I mean is like the biggest story was just like the gathering of the Avengers, kind of. That's what I mean. Like, not like the little in-betweens of everything. Just the main thing of gathering the Avengers and fighting Thanos. You know, like, it's, you know, they kind of made their own story there, which is, and they're probably doing a much even wider one with these characters who are a lot more flexible to do that, because the honest truth is, not a lot of people knew who the fuck Shang-Chi was. Like, you said yourself, you have to look him up before, you know, before we even watch the movie. And that's understandable. Like, not everybody's going to know.
And that's why it's going to be a little different, because we're now working with the B heroes instead of the A heroes. And like, nobody knows about the B heroes. So they have a little bit more leeway in how they write these characters, because nobody knows who, like, these people are.
I like that. I like that they can change that up and give them like something extra that they didn't necessarily have.
Be like creative with it.
Yeah. And just be completely creative with it. Like I will get into it, because I think you and me disagreed when we were talking about outside about like why I think they need to be creative. But let's get into the reviews. Haven't heard from you, Kaifa. You first. Go on.
Yeah. So wait, answer my question though. Like, how did you folks enjoy it? So I guess Kaifa, how did you enjoy it? Was it like crazy, like full of excitement, or was it?
What was that last part?
What was it? Or was it like a disappointment?
No, I thought it was a really good movie. It was entertaining. Mm-hmm. There was it wasn't just solely focused on him all the time, which was good. It kind of was telling like different stories.
Yeah.
I like the sister's story.
Yeah.
Especially because if you've watched into the after credits, you'll get more.
Yeah.
But I think pretty entertaining.
Sorry, and like I think Greg Crono was saying, the sister doesn't even exist in comics. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know Shang-Chi, to be honest.
She doesn't exist the way she's played out in the movie.
Okay.
In his origin story.
All these other side characters and like, you know, secondary people within the movie. It's not just about the one person and like building upon them. It's smart. It's really good. It's a really good, you know, to have more people.
I think I was only confused about his friend.
With
Eddie. Like what role she had to play.
Awkwafina?
Yeah.
The comedy
comic relief. She was the comic relief sidekick.
Because even at the end, when what's his face comes in and like both of you come, I'm like, why her?
To, you know, I think it's to kind of mask some not.
It's like, is she going to be an important character maybe? That like something happens later down the line that
nah.
She becomes something?
Nah, I don't think it's going to go that
far. Wait, I like how you said that, the pancakes, because. That's actually a Hollywood technique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a Hollywood technique. Yeah, they'll put a comedian like actor like not even a mainstream comedian, like it would just be like just a comic relief just to get your attention away from, you know, like actually getting into the acting, because that's exactly what they did with Black Widow, and that's exactly what.
Yep.
You know, all those little funny quips that they had in the movie.
Yeah, no.
So, I think I just felt a little bit more odd with this one because usually there's usually that type of character, but they're
like they're a not family front member,
row and center,
yeah, no.
kind of character.
I don't know, man. You watch Ant-Man? Do you watch Ant-Man? That guy pretty prominent in that movie. You know, there are like 10-minute flashbacks in that, man.
I don't know why they did that. I mean, like, Paul Rudd's a fucking amazing actor, man. Paul Rudd's fucking amazing. Like, seriously, he's so fucking good. Like, they didn't need to do that, but it made that movie better. And I think
they
that
did it because it's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they have to do the running gag. So every Ant-Man movie is going to be like that.
Yeah, he should get snapped away. No,
man, just remind What If, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, we can't talk about What If.
We can talk about What If.
Let's talk about What If. Fuck it, we'll make this a super long one. So finale. Make this a long one.
Yeah. Fuck it! It's the season finale.
Yeah, we're gonna make it. Anyway, yeah. So let me talk about what Layton was saying. Yeah, that is a very good Hollywood technique, and just giving maybe the main character, who's your main character, but may not have the acting chops to cut it. Sort of, you know, they kind of pair him up with a comedic person to take away from your not so great acting to make you look good and like a star and in the places where you can shine. Which. Is his choreography, because if that literally was all of him, I'm not too sure, but if it was all him, that guy's got some fucking good ass choreography. And
it
I don't
was,
know.
Yeah. It wasn't all him.
but some parts.
There is a reason why it looks the way it does, and I will get into that later on. But there's a reason why it looks the way it does.
Some parts I know he did his own stunts. And also I don't know if you guys seen the baseball, like if anybody watches baseball, like he did throw the first pitch on one of the games this past week. And he did a backflip. Like he threw the pitch, did a backflip. That's fucking like, he's an actor. So it's fucking crazy. Anyways. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, to answer your question, it is a very Marvel-esque movie. If you've watched the other Marvel movies, you will feel very at home. It is a very Marvel-esque movie. As far as it going in a different direction, it didn't really go into that far of a direction. It's still very much a practical type hero movie, but they do indeed go into the mystic parts because, yes, there are mystic stuff in there. And because, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home is the next movie coming out, and that has to deal with mystic stuff, they get into the mystic a lot in this movie, but not the way that you might think they do. But it's a very good movie. Even if you're not a Marvel fan, you should really check it out, because as a martial arts movie, it's actually really good. But yeah, that gets into the weeds. So Kaifa, your review.
Yeah, Kaifa, go ahead. You can start your review.
I mean, it's basically what I was saying before, that it was good. It was a good, entertaining movie. I liked the choreography, and I liked the story, the way that they made the story. There was enough backstory while still moving forward with the movie. So you didn't feel like you were missing out on a lot of information, but like we were talking about before, I mean, not a lot of people know Shang-Chi. I don't know Shang-Chi. So that did help with them being creative and not having, I guess, a bias towards it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, yeah, it makes sense, because if nobody has any thought who this character is, you know, you gotta, I can expect them to throw in a couple Easter eggs or a couple mentionings of past movies or past, you know, just to keep that linkage. But just because it's a new character and nobody's familiar with or whatnot, they can start from scratch. And I think that's what we covered in the other episode, when they're like, how Cake said, you know, they're switching over to this B characters in Marvel, which nobody really knows about. They can write whatever story and tell whatever story they want, but and still keep it, you know, like entertaining or keep it interesting. So question for you though, Kaifo, like was the, I guess, the acting performance, the theatrical, the cinematics, the even the sounds, like the sound, the punches and whatnot, like was that up to your standards for a Marvel movie?
I think it did a little better than a Marvel movie. That the choreography and stuff like that, like Krono was saying, it was a good, it had good martial arts in it. So it made it entertaining and artistic in a sense, because the way that where his mother came from, their style seems very, very artistic and very with the flow.
You're talking about when the father and the mother first fought each other?
Yeah, that scene was really nice. Yeah. But even when that was some good the mom's sister, when she was teaching Shang-Chi what they're
there doing,
it was all like leaves blowing, wind, and a lot of smooth, like fluid movements.
Yeah. It was basically kind of a ballet of two fucking people with fight moves in it.
Yeah.
It was really fucking, it sounds super cheesy to say it like that, but it that's truly what it was.
It was a good combination of that, like a more artsy style with the kung fu and like actual going into it action.
Yeah, not for all of them though. But
I think
it was only for like two or three of them, but like the other ones.
You're talking about for like the artsy part.
Yeah. The other ones were just still fucking, in general, great martial arts.
So, that you're talking about the arty part, like the fluidity of the movements, the motions, etc. Is this kind of like similar to like something like Avatar, Last Airbender, you know, that type of style where it's all nature-esque type of martial arts?
It is exactly like that. Because the motions that they use is Tai Chi. And that is exactly what airbending is. Airbending is based off of Tai Chi. So that's why everybody was comparing it to airbending, which they were doing. They're literally airbending.
Was both sides Tai Chi?
Mom's style.
Okay. I was just like, I think the dad's was more traditional. I don't know what to call it.
His style is more of the like harder kung fu types.
So it conflict with each other. Yeah. Like hard stone and like flows with the wind and shit like that. Yeah.
But that's exactly why the mom was able to do what she did with the dad, because that's all about Tai Chi. It's
to,
like
to bring it to anime and then bring it to Cowboy Bebop. There was that one episode. I forgot who you fought.
Oh, you're talking about the one where Spike fights that it's just a random thug, but he's just like teaching him why.
Yeah, not to be like, tense.
You know, you have to flow like water. That's a very Bruce Lee thing. Bruce Lee used to say that a lot.
Yeah,
you have to be like water. You know, water is formless.
Hey, you know, now that you brought up Bruce Lee, did you know? Like, this is a fruit for thought, or kind of one of the facts. Like, one of the fruit for thought or facts of Marvel. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Shang-Chi was based off of, I think was Bruce. Yeah. Shang-Chi's character was based off of Bruce Lee. And And basically there was a planning or some sort of mentioning long time ago that Brandon, his son, Brandon Lee, was going to play Shang-Chi in like a Marvel movie or something like that. Long time ago, before The Crow, before he got shot in The Crow, you know, RIP Brandon Lee. But that would have been fucking dope. But yeah, I remember I read an article on it because they recently found out. It was actually during the release of this movie. They just recently found out that, yeah, Stan Lee's and his writers was, you know, how Shang-Chi was created was because of Bruce Lee. So I was like, whoa, that's pretty trip.
Didn't know that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's cool.
That's a hell of a food for thought, man. Nice. All right. Chrono?
Well, I mean, I said what I said before. I mean, it's a really good action movie. It's really good martial arts movie. Oh, wait, what?
Nothing. Go on. Sorry.
What? Oh, yeah. Martial arts movie. Good movie. It's not Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But...
It is not. It's not Crouching Tiger. Yeah, let's be clear. It's not Crouching Tiger.
It's not Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but what? It is a very good movie.
You said something about why the fighting looked like that earlier. What did you mean by that?
Okay, so when you watch the bus scene, if it feels very Jackie Chan-like, yep, there's a reason for it.
Okay.
The guy that did the choreography is Jackie Chan, one of Jackie Chan's top fight choreographers.
Oh, yeah? Ah, that's pretty sick. That was a very Jackie Chan-like. So
it does look that way for a reason.
Is it? Was it just that one?
No, all the fights. All the fights were choreographed.
Other than even the, like...
Lots of climbing on things.
Even the ballets?
Yeah. So he was the main fight choreographer.
Oh shit.
The sad thing is he did pass away. So that dedication at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That's him.
Fuck. So this was his last choreography movie? Fuck. That's crazy. That sucks. Yeah,
that's why the fight scenes look the way they do, because he's one of Jackie Chan's top fight choreographers.
Damn.
So it looks very Jackie Chan-esque because of that, and that's why it looks really good.
Damn, yeah, that bus scene, if they didn't have to add in like the super craziness of it being a Marvel movie, which they did in that one, that would have been that was a super sick fight scene. Like, I appreciate the Marvelness, but like if it was just like, you know, in a bus that was moving but not like pummeling down a fucking hill like S,
I mean, kind of stuff. even the fight in on the scaffolding, that was still very cool. I mean,
that was really cool.
They were jumping around and hopping on. You could see if you put Jackie Chan in that scene,
yeah,
it would be.
I can see it, and I'm just like, because I love Jackie Chan movies, so now I can see
that's
it.
Some good shit, man.
I mean, you wouldn't be like, oh, he don't belong there. I mean, it would fit right in there. You've probably seen a fight like that in a Jackie Chan movie at some point.
Yeah, that's some good shit.
Could have been the mask guy.
Yeah, right. That was Jackie Chan. That's Jackie Chan in the mask. They don't really go too much into him. That's Jackie Chan.
That guy's name is Death Dealer, by the way.
And they did
him dirty at the end of the movie.
I thought it was gonna be a reveal or something about
show
him.
His face.
And then
they did him dirty at the end of the movie. Man, he just get his soul sucked out after he'd been all badass and stuff.
Pretty way to go.
But the other guy lives. I don't remember his name.
Fucking Razor Fist or what the fuck ever?
Yeah, okay. Razor Fist. Razor Fist lived.
Fuck.
So I'm curious. Since the martial arts was good, the choreography was good, how about like, you know, basically the movie scores? Like, was the movie scores kind of leaned towards like a traditional cultural... type, you know, like Chinese or Asian, like tone, or
not really. I mean, the soundtrack actually takes kind of a backseat in the movie.
Yeah,
you kind of really don't actually hear it.
Yeah,
too often.
Well, I guess it, like, you know, not saying it's a bad score or whatever, but I guess it just blends well. You know, you're paying attention to obviously the choreography and the fight scene more, so that's probably why. Like in a Jackie Chan movie, you know,
it's a very martial arts movie. It's like the score doesn't really matter, and it's also very hip hop ish.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it takes place in San Francisco, so, like, I understand why they did that, you know what I mean? Like, San Francisco is embedded with, you know, like, at least the surrounding area, you know, there's Chinatown and whatever, but it's also still a very fucking, you know, new age sort of place kind of thing, so blending that hip-hop influence into there, I guess. But
fuck, that would have been so funny if they had hip-hop keto in this movie. That would be fucking Power Rangers. That's a Power Rangers reference, guys. Hip-hop keto. Hip-hop keto or keto.
That's the style that Zach uses in Power Rangers.
The Black Ranger. The Black Ranger. Yeah. And yeah, it's, I don't know, just hip-hop and kung fu. Hip-hop keto.
Oh, when he's like fighting and he's dancing and shit.
Yeah, that's the style that he uses.
Fuck, that was corny as hell.
Yeah, that's right. That would have been funny.
Keto.
But yeah, no hip-hop keto.
No hip-hop keto. I'm gonna be the thumbnail for this. Just him doing that over and over again. No. Hip-hop keto. Let's bring that shit back. Let's make that gif popular.
Dude, he brought it back. If you follow him on Instagram, there's his recent post was of some dude doing it in an actual fight.
Yeah. I seen that. Yeah, it's been coming back slowly because that's kind of like what he's known for. Just like the Carlton, you know, like how, Fresh Prince, you know, like it's like one of those dances, one of those little, you know, nostalgic things that we grew up with. And yeah, they bring it back slowly. Like, I know, I think didn't he do a grown up like now video or something like that, like an infomercial style video for like for comedy or whatnot. I think I seen something like that from him.
Black Ranger?
I think so. I think he did.
Yeah.
It's kind of
like funny. it was like a recent promo for Power Rangers or something like that, and it's him, like, you know, as he is now, like older, like, and he's like dressed up in his gear, like not in his Power Ranger gear, but in his hip hop keto gear, and he's doing hip hop infomercial, like it was just for fun. I think I seen it somewhere. I could be dreaming about it, but that was, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, moving on from hip hop keto, okay, back to Shang-Chi. All right, so movie scores, you didn't really notice it. The choreography was good, we talked about that. So now the storyline, like, was the storyline like easy to follow, like from the beginning all the way to the end?
They actually do a pretty good job because, I mean, like we all mentioned, he is a lesser known character, so they were able to be more creative with the story. So I mean, you don't actually have to have a proxy in there to understand, you know, what's going on, a la Mortal Kombat, you know.
Yeah, something. No, like, yeah, that. like it basically what you're saying is that it was really straightforward. There wasn't any, like, you didn't have to really pay attention to certain details or remember certain lines just to get the. Right.
They do a really good job setting up the character and, like, you know, interspersing his backstory to where you can follow. Like, the story actually starts when the Mandarin finds, like, the Ten Rings. So, you know, the mom is actually narrating the story to Shang-Chi about how his father found the Ten Rings and how he created the Ten Ring organization that you may have noticed from Iron Man 1 all the way up to Iron Man 3, you know. They do a really good job paying off all of those hanging threads that they left from those movies. And yeah, it's really easy to follow. You basically become attached to the character really quickly. And, like, you can understand what he did and why he did it. And, you know, there's still some mystery left in his character. Like, you know, at one point he tells Caddy that he didn't kill whoever the person was he was sent to kill. And then he retconned himself and said that he might have actually done it, but we still don't know if he did actually do it.
Yeah, so, like, the movie itself does a really good job of going back and forth between present day and in the past. So they don't do, like, the entire past all in one, and then they go to present day. They kind of go back and forth. Also, progress that backstory while the you know, present day story is progressing. So like you find out the high note of the past of him going off to be, you know, murder somebody kind of around the same time where that's main present day is reaching its climax as well. So, yeah. So they did a good job of building his backstory and like kind of creating him as the story itself moved on at the same time. So, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's a good start for this new section of Marvel, or this new phase. No, not new phase, but
it's phase four. You get what I'm saying. It's a new phase.
New phase because
number one movie.
Because that's one thing that other fans are scared of. They're scared of the kind of like the the continuity, I guess, of they're worried about the continuity of these films. Like I guess I don't know why fans are thinking that some of these films are just chopped up and just, you know, sliced and diced real easy and just put into production. But that was one fear that everybody kind of had, like, oh yeah, you know, Hollywood is just so saturated with all these ideas and whatnot, and they just produce shit, and that's all we're gonna get is shit. So but you know what, that's for everybody else's, you know, opinion on that.
It's because they're just waiting for the crash. Expecting the Marvel plane to crash and burn, and they just want to know when it's gonna happen.
and that's a question that we should ask right now. Like, do you guys feel in this time in Marvel, in this period in Marvel where we're at, and like timeline wise, do you think that the crash is gonna be somewhat soon, or has it already begun? Like, do you guys feel like it's
according to this movie? No, it's not. It's still a really good jumping off point. You don't have to have any prior knowledge of what happened in the beginning or in Infinity Saga to enjoy what happens in this movie. So they're still doing a really decent job of, you know, writing wise in the story department. And because it's the beginning of phase four, we're not entirely sure how they're going to, like, what direction they're going to take it. Like, we don't know who the big bad of this phase is going to be. You know, you can point to at least three, you know, that you can think of just the way the Marvel movies are set up in phase four. And, you know, the last movie is Fantastic Four. And we all know who the bad person in Fantastic Four is. So the maybe
big bad person. Yeah.
Maybe it might just be a literally big bad person that they're all gonna end up fighting. So, you know, that's one direction it could go.
I just want Doctor Doom in any way, shape, or form. That's all I want from Fantastic Four. And I want him right.
I don't know if you can set Doctor Doom right anymore, you know?
Like, I'm the same way. Like, I feel the same way. Like, they have to make his character, actually, they have to choose the correct actor, number one, and the writing for his character, like how he carries himself, you know, how he acts, how he looks, like the aesthetics. They need to really up their game, like, you know, with all of that, because Dr. Doom is someone that you can't just push on the side. You can't just throw some fucking silver paint on him and just be like, oh yeah, you know, here he is, Dr. Doom. No, it has to come with the whole persona, the all around. But like, you know, when we talked about like this heading towards the Mystics side, like I think, and of course with Marvel, like the series timeline, like Loki, mentioning of Loki and stuff like that, like since it is alternate universes and Spider-Verse, you know, we talked about you mentioned Spider-Man, and it's talking about all these alternate timelines. I think it has to do something like around those, like where it's going to be a god, like an actual fucking god, in the Marvel Universe.
Like a that would planet be destroying god?
Like a, yes, yeah, exactly. That's why, like, that's why I think, I just think that they're, like, it's like they're heading towards that direction, just like how you said, but they're not giving any spoilers. They're not giving us any taste. Like, it's going to be like a full on surprise. Like, I think we're going to start seeing stuff, a lot of stuff, when it hits like towards Doctor Strange or something. But like, that's my question though too. Sorry to cut off and jump off of topic, but was there any like parts that kind of resembled or that was linked, connected to Doctor Strange? Because I know that that's one of the big hypes, which is the Universe of Madness, or, you know, the Multiverse of Madness.
I mean, Wong is literally in the movie. Like, literally.
Holy shit. For real?
Yeah.
He's in the movie?
He's fighting the Abomination in the beginning of the movie.
Threw me off in the yeah, in the beginning, I was like, hey.
Hey. Yeah.
And it was really funny, you know? It's like, those punches hurt, you know. How do you like it if you felt it? And then he portals his freaking punch right into his head. It's fucking
damn.
it's a very cool Easter egg, because the scene after is actually really interesting, because he actually talks to the Abomination like they're like buddies. He's like, you know, Emil, you really should start learning how to pull your punches like we practiced.
See, that's exactly what I wanted. Okay, so sorry to go back, but Black Widow with what's his name? Red Guardian. Like, that's what I wanted. I wanted a scene like that with Red Guardian and Captain America. Like, just them two, you know, just like, oh yeah, remember, Captain, when I used to fight with you? We used to do good fighting. And then, like, Chris Evans as Captain America comes in and they're like, no, never. And just walks off, you know, just like fucking, like, that would be that kind of like, it's a funny, cool, like, way to, I don't know, like, you know, after the fighting and whatnot, and they're like arch nemesis, but then yet they're like buddies, I don't know, because they always fought each other. Like, that would have been cool too. But yeah, I guess Wong made it into this movie, and that is cool. Yeah, so I can kind of see, well, you guys are painting a picture for me of how good this movie actually is. I really want to watch it now.
You should really watch it. It's actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a Marvel movie, it's still a good movie.
Yeah. So is there any other thoughts for your folks' review that you guys want to mention about the movie, about a scene? Like anything.
Yeah, so I mean, so the conversation that me and Coronel had outside was Shang-Chi didn't have the rings, his power bracelets, whatever you want to call them, right?
It's because the character of the Mandarin is very different in this movie than the actual character in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
The way the Ten Rings work is entirely different in the comics than the way it works in the movie so far, because the Mandarin, each ring the Mandarin has a different power in the comics, but in this universe the Ten Rings are basically, like, you know, the iron rings that you would see in a kung fu movie. It basically, sure, they can just, like, you know, connect it and, like, yeah, chain it,
yeah,
like literally chain it, and, you know, it has that impact power. So yeah, but that's why it's really different in how it works. But yes, he never ends up with the rings in the comic books, because the Mandarin is actually not his father in the comics. But
yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Like, I was so looking forward to at least some sort of reference of the Mandarin, and yeah, that is actually a good thing that you brought up, that the Mandarin is not actually his father. And when I was reading, you know, just elsewhere, and people were asking me about this question, like, hey, how come, did you know that Mandarin had a son? I was like, no, like, I know Mandarin didn't have a son, but then they were mentioning Shang-Chi, I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know Marvel was going to actually go this route, you know, because that's like a, like, it's not a big, like, mess up. Like, it's not going to mess up the timeline, but now you're going to start picturing something different than it actually was. And that's the pivoting point that we try to, like we talked about earlier, for these types of storytelling. But of course, now that you're mentioning that the rings, the original rings, yes, I remember they're kind of like the Infinity Stones you needed, you know.
And that is exactly why it doesn't work the way it does in the comics. It's because the director didn't want them to be mistaken for the Infinity Gem.
Yeah.
And that's why it works the way it does. That's why they changed it.
So that's why, like, now I'm a little bit bummed, a little bit, but it still sounds like a kick-ass movie, though.
You're still going to be bummed because in the end, the Mandarin dies. So there's no Mandarin anymore.
Oh, shit.
No. Ben Kingsley is still very much alive.
I don't know. Him and Morris are playing dead.
He might have been playing dead. Mandarin is still very much alive. The one
it's only half the Mandarin. It's only half the Mandarin. Remember the other half? The other half is the terrorist. And that guy dead too.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that goes back to your point. Trevor's still in the movie.
Yeah, so I think giving him the 10 rings and giving him like actual, because in the comics, he's just he's the best martial artist ever, right? Like, nobody can fucking beat him. And, like, that's great and all. But, you know, we had Black Widow. We've already had Black Widow. Like, Black Widow's the shits. Not taking anything away from that. But, like, if we're going to go galactic and we're going to go to space and, like, fight bigger fucking things, you can't just have someone who knows kung fu. Like,
He knows how to use chi. He can do kung fu.
Everything is so visual. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just have him push a puff of wind and fucking, you know, destroy shit. You see those rings power up and give them that power and just rah, bah. Like, seriously. Like,
Cakes, did you just... Sorry? You said, like, if we're going to space, we can't just be, like, you know, like, martial artists. We can't just, like, if we're going to fight some galactic being and go to space, doesn't it sound like Fast 9, guys? I'm trying to pull it straight because you know what, like that episode was fucking hilarious. And it's I don't know, it's just a bunch of bullshit. And but yeah, no, I have faith in Marvel. I do have faith in Marvel. I don't think it's the end of their reign right now, but I think eventually if they keep this like algorithm going, like, you know, if they keep it up with the series that they're doing, the, like, you know, from the cartoon series, the animation series, you know, the What Ifs and whatnot, I think, you know, it's going to start, like, it's going to continue and they're going to be prospering in the future. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because, like, we're talking about cars in space, you know, for Fast 9 versus ground like superheroes, like ground moving superheroes in space, which is Marvel. So it's gonna be, yeah, I don't know, something to watch, you know.
I mean, it makes more sense for a ground level superhero to go to space in a Marvel universe than it does for a car to turn into a rocket ship in a practical universe, you know.
We already seen
Spider-Man go to space.
Yeah,
that's,
no,
that's
and
a
I just
ground was, level superhero.
and I just was gonna break not break that, but I just was gonna mention that too. Like with Drax. Drax is a ground super or hero. He's not a superhero. He's just like, you know, mercenary, whatever. You know, double bladed kill.
He's still a cosmic hero. That's the thing. It's not weird for him to be in space.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. But I guess another question would be, off of this movie, like at towards the end, and after you guys got to kind of review, recollect everything in your mind, is there going to be a continuation like right after this one? Like, is there going to be a Shang-Chi number two? Do you guys feel like it's going to be Shang-Chi number two, or is it going to be a whole another movie, like a assembly of the next Avengers, the new Avengers, or something like that?
There's definitely going to be a Shang-Chi two. There's still a lot of things that they have to explain, like Tao Lao. We only saw a little bit of that area, and like the way they've mentioned like how it used to look, like there are cities that were way more advanced than what is in the prime universe, you know. So they have to explain that, and they also have to explain where the rings have come from, you know, and like what the rings actually are. Like, because in the end credit scene, Bruce Banner and Captain Marvel are examining the rings on a like microscopic level, and they said that it's like a homing beacon. It's transmitting something to someone, and they need to know who that person is and why it's transmitting it to them.
Oh, shit. Sounds like it's gonna be the Eternals or something. Fuck. Yeah.
Let's not get into Eternals, man. That one's gonna be weird.
Like, I'm looking forward to it because I want them to introduce the Titans, you know? Like, I want to see at least the Titans and of course the ragtag group.
They can't actually do that though, because then it'll ruin the continuity of what they said in the movie.
No, and no, but I think in the, like, if you look at the cosmic timeline, like, I think right now they're in like the second firmament, if I'm not mistaken, or probably the third, somewhere after. It's not the first, but I know it's like the third or the second.
Wait, by Titans, you're talking about actual Titans, or you're talking about Celestials?
The Celestials, yeah, the Celestial Titans. Yeah, sorry, I call them Titans because
they're two different things. Because the Titans,
yeah, I know.
The Titans are like Thanos, and they're supposed to be the opposite of the Eternals. I forget what.
Yeah.
But it kind of ruins the continuity because they try to explain why the Eternals didn't help the Avengers when Thanos was attacking them, because they can only help when the. Damn it, what are they called? But Thanos is actually one of those.
Yeah.
In the comics. He's half of that.
Yeah.
And so they're retconning whatever canon that exists to saying that they couldn't help because he wasn't one of them, but he actually is one of them. So they should have helped. So
yeah,
I'm really wondering how they're gonna really explain that.
Because I was under the impression that they didn't help because there's some sort of law. Like, I think it was in one of the
It's in the trailer.
In one of those. Wait, which trailer? Oh yeah,
it's in the Eternals trailer.
You're talking about
because Black Knight asked them why they didn't help with Thanos.
Yeah. Because that's what I would see as practical. I mean, like, as, you know, following the timeline, following the story and whatnot would be...
Deviants. No, wouldn't be. That's what they're called. They're called
the deviants. Yes.
But Thanos is actually a deviant. That's the thing.
Yeah, he is. The Mad Titan.
Well, it doesn't really work out. Why did it help?
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing how they explain that away.
So that's why there's a lot of, a few actually, like, real, you know, diehard nerds. Woo, nerds! A lot of diehard nerds out there that are kind of like trying to dissect every single thing that was mentioned, because everything has to do with not just the Eternals, not just like a galactic cosmic timeline or a timekeeper or whatever. It has to do with something big. And this is where, you know, like the Watcher comes into play, the writer, like the writers of the books. Like, if you really follow Marvel, some of the bigger giant, like beings that control the universe is known as the fans. It's kind of like the fans and the writers. So they're the ones that, you know, with the stroke of their pen, create these types of stories. Like, it's kind of like breaking the fifth or fourth wall, you know, in comic books. So, which could be, it's kind of like Lego. Like, okay, here, I'll paint the picture for you. Lego movie. Lego movie is all Legos, right? Talking stories, moving around, dancing, everything is awesome, right? All that kind of stuff. And then breaks the fifth wall. What do you know? It's fucking Will Ferrell. Oh, no, was it Will Ferrell? Yeah, the dad.
It was Will Ferrell, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the dad was Will Ferrell. And then, of course, there's a son, and he was playing with the Lego set. So the whole thing was just like, boom, there. No, that was a whole story. He wasn't playing
with the Lego set. The kid was playing with the Lego set.
Yeah. But that was the dad, right? The dad
didn't want him to play with the Lego set.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why the bad guy was the dad.
what I'm trying to get at is that Lego movie is kind of like what's going on. That the cartoony Lego style is the Marvel universe, right? And outside of the Marvel universe, you got the puppet masters, the ones that's pulling the strings, the ones that's actually telling the stories. That's like the Watcher or, you know, the writers. That's so I'm wondering if they will go that direction. I don't know if they're going to go that extreme in Marvel, because it's hard to explain.
They're going to have to at some point.
But that would be the only way, like, to answer your question, Chrono, the only way to explain why shit was fucked up why they didn't help when Thanos was a kind. That would be the only way. And that would be an awesome way too, like, just to add, just because we never seen that in any comic book story, we never seen it, period, in any story, actually, like told that way. So that'd be pretty fucking interesting.
I don't know. I think we've seen it.
I don't think so.
You've read DC versus Marvel? I think we've seen it.
See, but you read it, but we never seen it in the theaters. That's what I'm trying to get at. We never seen it in the movie.
You like, said comic book story, though. I think we've seen it in comic books.
Coming from someone who knows jack shit about it, I'm not hyped, but I'm very interested because I don't know what to expect from it. So, yeah, like someone that I really have no idea who these guys are. I'm looking forward to it because I want to know more about them. It piqued my interest enough. At first, I wasn't interested, and then the trailers kept coming out and then started piquing my interest a little bit more. Yeah.
You and everybody else don't know who they are.
Yeah. But okay, so Cakes, for you, since you're you and Kaifa, you guys both dabble with cinematography, you know, angles, lighting, etc. For this movie, for Shang-Chi's movie, is that what kind of got you more, I guess, involved with the acting or with the story?
No, not like, really. Like, not really? There's some things that, like, from a cinematography and, like, kind of artsy point that, like, I was like, holy fuck, that was sick. The most prominent one for me was when Shang-Chi was fighting Death, what's his face? Mask Death person?
Dealer.
Death Dealer. When he was fighting Death Dealer at the top of a building, and they had this big giant neon sign behind them, and the neon sign silhouetted them with like these bright purples and blues and whatever. I was like, holy fuck. It was literally just a split second. They didn't stay on it long enough to like, you know, make it cheesy and kind of just like, oh, look at this. But it was, if you were looking at it from a cinematography point, you would have caught that. And
yeah,
I definitely saw that. It was a split second, but I was like, holy fuck, that was like 1.2 seconds, but it's the best 1.2 seconds of this movie. Actually, no, not of the movie. There's another one when he basically does an anime fucking move with the dragon towards the end. That was super sick too. That was pretty dope. They could have went totally overboard and like made like the dragon into like full on water, but that was super dope too. That was a very anime fucking finishing.
It's very Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah. It was almost to the point of like, this is a bit cheesy, but they're actually doing a pretty good job. So
yeah,
go on, go on, continue.
All No, yeah, like that sounds like fun. No, yeah, I just wanted to get your perspective on it because, like, for me, I also love different angles and I love different, you know, like if a director does POV or whatnot, you know, like I really love.
You love POV.
I love POV, especially when it's looking down. No,
that's a
dirty joke for you guys. Nah,
EG.
Yeah. Nah, but I enjoy those type of cinematographies, and sometimes like it could be a really shitty movie, like really crappy fucking movie ever that I'll watch, but if the camera angles are like perfect and like the backdrop, the lighting, the cast, like the light cast on the actors, it's all perfect, it all blends. Oh man, it's like a fucking wet dream. Like I get hard, you know, like when I see that kind of stuff. I'm just saying.
He went there again.
I'm just saying. I love those shots because I'll tell you guys this. I'll tell you guys this, all you listeners at home, it is hard, it is difficult to get those shots. I'll be honest, and even Cakes can probably say this. Certain times of the day, certain, like if you're using natural lighting, and even if you're photoshopping or you're video editing or whatever. I'm not going there. I know you're. I can feel you tensing up. But no, what I mean
he went
is
there
that,
again. He went there.
You're clenching it. You're clenching now. I can say though it is difficult for those shots, and I can understand why they need so many like visual artists and editors on these projects, especially for those 2 second shots, like how you just said, it just takes 2 seconds, you know, like there's a lot of work that goes into it. And for me, I feel like as a fan or as someone that like an avid moviegoer or whatnot, or old time avid moviegoer, like I appreciate those types of details from directors, from filmographers, from cinematographers, from artists, from just the whole shebang, everybody from all these studios. They're all creative in their own way. So yeah, and that's what gets me hooked on a certain movie, even though it's piece of shit. Like, so that's why I wanted to hear your opinion on it, if that what kind of played, you know, at your heartstrings as a cinematographer or as like a photographer yourself. So
yeah. So I mean, other than like that one, there was a little bit more like really nice cinematography stuff, but like that one just really stuck out majorly, because like, you know, you don't want to take away from the choreography, and I do feel the choreography was the biggest star of this, which is good. They should focus more on the choreography, because fucking all of the fight scenes were awesome. Like they were just, I cannot express how good all the choreography in this movie actually was. So I'm glad that they didn't take away with like all the atmosphere stuff, like, because atmosphere is amazing, you know what I mean, like it's always important, but I'm glad that they didn't take away from the star of the movie, which was like, I mean, like you're making a, you know, Asian inspired kung fu movie, like you have to have the star be the choreography. So I'm glad that they added some in, but they didn't make it the main focal point. So
do you guys have any last thoughts or anything else that you guys want to throw in for this movie, Shang-Chi?
We should talk about Morris.
Okay. And I was still
underrated character in this movie.
So you guys can talk about Morris, and then right after you guys can start with your scores, which are scoring for it, for this movie. Okay, so what about Morris?
What about Morris?
Morris is an awesome character. You're going to love him. He's a great guide.
Play a bigger role down the line or something in the actual comics? Or am I?
Oh, no. He's just that particular cute animal sidekick character.
So he's like the group.
Yeah, he's like the Groot of this movie.
I don't know why, but he reminds me of like a character that would be in like Yu-Gi-Oh.
Because he looks like a Karibo without eyes.
Yeah.
He looks exactly like a Karibo without eyes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably why. Yeah, we just have to bring up Morris.
All right.
So let's go ahead. Yeah, let's go ahead and start with the scoring then, from one being not so great to 10 being the most excellent movie you've ever seen. So Chrono, you can go ahead and start it.
So for this movie, I thought it was really good. The action is awesome. The fight scenes are great for a reason. And, you know, the story is actually pretty interesting. There's still a lot they have to explain through and, like, you know, show more of the other interdimensional stuff that they were working on. So there's more to be told in this series. So I'm going to give this an 8. It's a really good movie. Highly recommend you watch it, even if you're not a Marvel fan. If you are a fan of Kung Fu movies, it is still a very good Kung Fu movie, and you don't have to be a Marvel fan to watch it. So give it a watch. It is a very good movie, and like, there's a reason why it was topping the box office. And yeah, Asians represent.
Yeah. Asian pride. How about you folks, Cakes and Typha?
Yeah, I definitely like the movie. I will go higher. I will give it an 8.9.
8.9.
8.9. Not a 9. Specific. Not a 9. I like specific. They're smart in everything that they did, storytelling-wise, having that comic relief throughout the entire film. Choreography, of course. Yeah, there were some parts that I didn't really care for. I'm not going to go into them because I don't want to negative this movie, because it was there's a lot more positive. So 8.9. Would watch again. I'm definitely down to watch again. So Atomic Train, whenever you want to head out and watch it, I'm down to go watch that with you, my friend. All right. Definitely would watch this movie again. For sure.
It is very much worth the 52 cents.
Yeah. We go unlimited path. Get it. So, yeah, definitely worth. I definitely want to check this movie out. And, you know, try to maybe find things that maybe I missed. Although I wouldn't know what those are. So.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about you, Kaifa? What's your score?
So, I really, really enjoyed the movie. And I'm going to go in between the both of you. Going
8.5. That's a good one.
But yeah,
this movie does get the Nerds of the Square Table stamp of approval.
Boom. Stamp of approval.
Stamp of approval.
Highly recommend. Like, 10 out of 10. We'll watch again.
Like and that's the thing. Like you know, I didn't even watch it, and just by hearing you folks talk about it, you know, it makes me want to watch it. Because, it's just interesting, you know, like, even though it was like kind of like a spoiler movie. Yeah, I still want to watch it. Like, I mean, spoiler review on
the actually
movie.
Spoil like, a lot of it, though.
Yeah, no,
there's still
fine.
Some things we didn't talk about.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, that's, you know, to be honest, because I think in next season, you know, when we get back into Marvel, I guarantee we're going to bring this movie up, because this is, you know, the crutch. This is the beginning of the phase 4, you know, like a direction. And yeah, I guarantee we're going to bring this movie up again in the future. But yeah, like, so is there anything, like, I just want to end this episode as like a farewell, like a send off for this season. So is there anything you guys are expecting or you guys want to try and do for Nerds of the Square Table this coming season, season 3? Is there something new you guys want to do or talk about? You guys ever thought of anything?
Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk about what we might be doing in season 3,
definitely, like Chrono said in the beginning of this, we are going on a road trip. Can definitely expect videos to be coming from that. So check out the YouTube channel. So hopefully we can get a bunch of YouTube videos up and, like, you know, more behind the scenes sort of things. We're also going to be doing a lot more things on the Instagram. You know, we'll be putting out stories, more exciting stories throughout the entire trip. So season three, you can expect a lot of road trip things, that's for sure. And, you know, any nerd stuff we come across the way, we're going to check out Meow Wolf and stuff like that along the way. So just in general, we'll be posting a lot more. We're taking a little break from the podcast, but that's just so that we can do other things, you know. So, yeah, for the Instagram, YouTube. But, you know, we'll always come back to the podcast and we can get together and talk about, you know, all the nerd stuff of, you know, the world. So, back to this podcast. But for the very near future, you'll be definitely seeing a slight change of things that we'll be posting on top of the Instagram just to showcase our road trip, because it's going to be a very important part of all of our journey together as friends, the 7 and 8 best friends that anyone could ever have.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and then another thing for you listeners out there, if anything, we're going to try and put or post some of these episodes, the recorded versions, up on YouTube. So it'll be available on YouTube on our channel, NSQT or Nerds of the Square. It'll be just more platforms. Like, we would just want to expand a little bit more and hit more platforms and try it. Did we discuss about streaming? Streaming on Twitch, you know, like we might, like we tried to do some streaming this year or this season, but of course it was a little bit harder to find the timing. So will we be kind of like coming up with a schedule or whatnot for next year? You guys have any idea? Probably.
So I think what me and Kaifa tried to do recently, we played It Takes Two and we streamed it, but it was only literally just to record it, just so that we could get the video, because like putting up the microphone with the PlayStation, setting it all up, it is kind of a hassle in itself. So what we did was, and I'm still working on putting this together, is we are considering recording gameplay. We can put it on Twitch, you know, we can still stream it, but we're going to record it and we're going to have that video as the YouTube, as kind of just like a Let's Play, kind of just like, you know, dicking around, just, you know, with everyone. If we all want to jump on the stream and just kind of talk shit, it's like, you don't know how to play this game whatsoever. Or help each other out and finish a level. Because we really want to finish It Takes Two. We really do. But yeah, it's such a hassle to set up a friggin' stream and put everything together. So, but, I mean, like, there's some games coming out that, you know, we're definitely going to play. So, Let's Plays on the channel, like, you know, if you guys want to see more of that, let us know. Like, we definitely do video games
for sure. I think if anything, the next one that would probably be good to stream with all of us probably will be Back for Blood.
Yeah, that most next one coming up October,
or Aliens Fire Team.
Yeah,
apparently JLN got it.
Jalen's already on it. Like, Jalen's on games all the time. So that guy's got, let's give that guy the chance to showcase his skills here, because he would be able to play with him. So if you want us to play, you got to play on the stream.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you guys heard just here on NSQT Talks, yeah, there's going to be a lot of different projects that we're going to be working on, a lot of different content. You're just going to try and do more in the future. Hopefully we're able to have fun as well, because that's all we're about. We're about just nerding out, having fun, and just enjoying each other's company, because we're, like how Cake said, you know, we're just a group of friends that just love to nerd out on shit. So yeah, I'm gonna close it over here. Okay, so anything else you guys gotta say?
Also, big stuff coming out towards the end of the year. There's going to be Spider-Man No Way Home. Matrix 4 just dropped the trailer. So we're going to be talking about Matrix stuff.
Do I have to watch the last Matrix that came out to understand this one?
You got to know how it ended. If Damn you it. Know how it ends, then you're fine.
So can I just watch like the last half an hour of the movie? Because I don't really want to. I heard it's not that great. So
yeah, Revolutions is not that. Even the end is not that interesting. It gets a little weird at the end. But if you know what happens at the end of Revolutions, you should be okay with the setup. All right, for Resurrections.
So watch YouTube summary.
Yeah. Yeah, do that. Cool. Got do it. That.
On the to-do list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be talking more Matrix stuff. And, you know, a whole slew of PlayStation 5 games just got announced. Some of which are very, very nerdy. Like KOTOR and Spider-Man
there
2.
There you go. KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic?
Yeah, remake. We get to play Revan again. We get to play as Revan. We get to go balls out and like electrocute everybody again. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Yeah.
Even though I'm probably gonna go light side like I always do.
For KOTOR, the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake or revamp. Hopefully we can get like an insight of from one of the other neeks that was on there using with our YouTube channel, Roberto. So hopefully we can get his input on that because he was super psyched about KOTOR before, and he always goes on and on and on about KOTOR that they should bring it back. So want to give him the opportunity to put it all out on the table and talk about this announcement. That'll be awesome. But yeah.
Yeah, so look forward to it. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline.
Yeah. So anyways, my neeks, that is it for this grand finale of season 2. Tune back next time for season 3. If you guys want to check us out, we already said, just go ahead and check the social medias. We're going to be posting a bunch of stuff while we're on hiatus for the podcast version. So yeah, and then like, comment, subscribe, you know, interact with us, you know, just throw out some ideas, some suggestions that you guys want to hear our opinion on. Gotta remember, we're the Neeks, NSQT, we're jack of all nerds. Everybody has their own forte in something, so guarantee most likely there will be somebody to reply or to, you know, converse with y'all. But we want you all to have a good and awesome break. And yeah, and then just tune back next time. Be safe, guys, out there, and nerd
Neeks
on.
Will return.
The Neeks will return. Season 3. All right.
Peace out.
Shoots my Neeks. Mahalo for listening, guys.